Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, June 20th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice, absolutely free, on the website whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through the worksheet process. And if you choose to listen to those, it can serve as a tutorial for how to dramatically improve your effectiveness and efficiency of the results you get with these tools. There are a whole host of other tools available there as well. And we appreciate it when people go there and click on those links and start working with these tools, because primarily it's been our experience that it is a powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible way to improve the quality of one's life. And then, at another level, it tends to promote, trigger, stir up, facilitate comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. And if you have any of those and you want to share them with us, give us a call at 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, and it'll put a little question mark by your phone number. Or these days, it's the icon of a hand by your phone number. And I'll turn on the microphone and introduce you by your area code. So, here we are on a Monday. We've got about 55 minutes left. Time for comments, questions, answers, testimonials. What's on your mind? How was the weekend? What is the way we can be of most service to you on this fine Monday morning. We have been working with the Way of Mastery this year. Last year we did the Course in Miracles lessons from the workbook, one a day through the weekdays. And this year we're choosing to do the Way of Mastery in what many would consider a slow and methodical approach. The intention is to help people decipher, discover, and then work with the tools that are implied and given in the Way of Mastery, to actually turn this book and the reading of it into a training, a way to learn to choose to live differently on a regular basis. And as we were reading the past couple of weeks, we were going through the lesson 13, and lesson 13, just like lesson 12, talked more than any previous lesson about going back over the lesson and looking for deeper meaning, looking for a very focused state of awareness as we go through the lesson, to remind ourselves, wait, were we distracted by some football game on TV or by somebody coming in the room when we were trying to go through these lessons the first time or two? And it is highly recommended that we go through that with, some would say, a fine-tooth comb, going a little deeper, going over it multiple times or many multiples of times, because what's being suggested is so dramatically different than the cultural position and family position that most of us were raised with. Beginning in the very first lesson where it says, nothing you experience is caused by anything outside of you. You experience only the effects of your own choice. And then by the time it gets to lesson 3, it says, now, let's give you a very different definition for forgiveness, because in this work, to forgive means to choose to release another from the perceptions you have been projecting upon them. It's got nothing to do with somebody doing something bad or wrong to you, and then you letting them off the hook. In this work, forgiveness is a process that I do internally that purifies my ability to go into the depth of my consciousness and see it accurately. Forgiveness is a process that lets me perceive myself and others more accurately without the distortions of the negative emotional states and the blame and the false attribution of cause and effect to events simply because they happen in close proximity. Well, I know that you're making me angry because every time you do that, almost instantly after I find out you've done it, I get angry. So that's how I know you caused my anger. And that's just silliness. That's just, you know, false evidence appearing real. That's how we've been trained to think that if anything happens close to another thing, there must be a cause and effect relationship. And yet all of our science, everybody who knows science and studies it knows that's not the least bit true. that most of the science that we read about and hear about is based on the understanding that most of that work is just inference. We are inferring something. It takes a lot of work before it is proven. So, as we move on, the next lesson says, okay, let's help you understand that in lesson three it says, not only are we going to give you an entirely different definition for forgiveness, we're going to let you understand how deeply you have been creating every experience you have with another person and coloring it and distorting it. It says, the more you begin to do this process of forgiveness, which is to clear up any false and any negative, therefore false perception, the more you do that, the more you begin to see how profoundly you have been coloring and therefore affecting all of your relationships. And it begins with the simple act of not being aware of the power of projection. The moment I forget that I'm the one creating my experience of life, instantaneously my mind starts working to show me evidence of how someone else is creating my experience of life. And that's how I move into blame, instantaneously. And unless we understand the workings of our mind, unless we learn to question them, unless we learn to question everything we've been taught by our family and our culture, we stay conditioned, we stay brainwashed, we stay in a state of hallucination, convinced that people and things outside of us are causing our emotions and our upsets and our disappointments. The next lesson says, hey, look, you have a connection to a level of wisdom that most people don't know about, and if they do know about it, they don't want you to have access to it because they want you to be listening to them. They want you to join their club. They want you to follow their rules. And so lesson four is an entire lesson about learning to tune into that wisdom and guidance. Lesson five expands on that and says, once you learn to tune into that wisdom and guidance, then look at the five keys to the kingdom. Look at the different ways that if you ask to be shown, you not only get access to a level of intelligence and wisdom beyond what your conscious logical mind can offer, but you can learn to surrender to it and allow it and honor it and let it be the source of your intentions keyed to love, which then become the building blocks for the goals that you create and choose, and that's the only thing that drives your behavior. And then your life transforms. I don't remember how many times I had been through this before I ever got to lesson five, but when I got to lesson five, I probably read it more than any other, trying to figure out what are the differences between allowance and surrender and intention. And reading it over and over and writing out the definitions, because they're fairly simple definitions, didn't really do it. I had to work with those five keys to the kingdom probably for a couple of years before before the internet show that happened, I think it was December 30th, 2015, where this stuff came flowing out in an intro. It wove itself into the intro, and then Michelle asked me about it, and so I reviewed it. And that was probably the first time that it actually felt to me like I had a good handle on the five keys to the kingdom, enough that I could start explaining it to somebody else. So that's the nature of the kind of thing that can happen when we go back and reread things. And since, you know, we're pretending that there is some value, we're testing it out to see if there's some value in this work beyond just entertainment. And so since we're going to act as though there's some deep value here, and the last lesson we read, lesson 13, said, you really ought to think about going back over this. That's what we'll do. And I will remind everyone on the call that if you have a comment or a question, feel free to press 1 on your phone, even when I'm in the middle of reading. And I'll either stop instantly or when I feel as though it's a good time to stop in terms of the pacing of the work. So the first part of Lesson 13 is to introduce us to this observation that we are unlimited spirit. We are not just the body. And that's the title of the lesson. You are unlimited spirit. And the lesson reads, now we begin. This in itself is an individual lesson, those three words. Recognizing that every moment when we wake up to it, an infinite potential to choose again right now. As it says in Lesson 12 and 13, every moment is an opportunity for us to be enlightened, to wake up to enlightenment, to see, to feel, to experience our lives differently than what we've been brainwashed to believe. Now we begin. You have the ability in today, in this moment, as you're listening to these words, to experience your life dramatically differently than you ever have. Now we begin. Indeed, as always, greetings unto you, beloved and holy friends. And in Lesson 6, it told us, if you understand, greetings unto you, beloved and holy friends. If you comprehend the depth of each term used, that's all you need. You don't need the rest of this book. You already know all there is to know. And you would be well prepared to extend the love of the Creator forever. How could that be? How could these simple words, indeed, greetings unto you, beloved and holy friends? Well, back in Lesson 6, it gives a whole several paragraphs explaining that. So that's on the first, that's on page 70, the first page of Lesson 6. It might be worth going back and looking at that. Why did they say, indeed, greetings unto you, beloved and holy friends, and then say, if you understood every concept in those words, you would be well equipped to extend the love of the Creator forever. The next paragraph reads, we come forth to join with you, and yet we're not apart from where you are. we are never inaccessible to any of the Creator's offspring. In truth, separation does not exist in all of creation. This can only mean that I'm not apart from where you are. And where you are has nothing at all to do with the location of the body that you have learned to call your own. In truth, you are pure spirit. In truth, you are as I am. You are as Yeshua is. You are as everyone who's ever existed is. In truth, that which you are abides throughout all dimensions of consciousness. In truth, that which you are has never tasted separation from Creator or creation. There is an aspect of you that has chosen to perceive yourself as identified with the physical body. In this third dimensional world that we call time and space, you've learned to think of yourself as just being this person on this part of the planet with this name and label, with this much financial ability, etc. This is a part of the experience you have created and thus called to yourself. And here they're using the capital S self. Your higher S self is experiencing your life on the planet at this time as one of the many, many things that yourself, your bigger S self, your true self, can be aware of and experience. It goes on to say, but when I speak of the self with a capital S, I speak not of the self which is the dream of the body, the little S self which you have identified yourself with. Rather, I speak of the capital S self that transcends all limitation and exists in all dimensions. Beloved friends, by way of introduction to that which we will be speaking unto in the next 12 lessons called The Way of Transformation, understand that it rests with this simple truth. Here's that truth. Quote, at no time are you truly imprisoned within the body. At no time, it must be important because they repeat it, at no time are you limited to the appearance that you have come to believe is you. No matter how deep the pain, no matter how certain you have been of what you call your common sense telling you, quote, I am here. I am this body. This moment is happening. This is all there is, close quotes. No matter how many times you think that and tell yourself that, the truth is not shaken. You are not the mere appearance of the body-mind that you have called yourself. Now, with that simple point as a foundation, we can begin. Beloved friends, the way of transformation rests on exactly the same thing that all of your dreams rest upon. The decision concerning what you would be committed to. For you cannot dream a dream. That is, you cannot create an experience in the field of consciousness without being 100% committed to it. It may appear that this is not the case, but I assure you that it is. This means that in each moment of your lived experience, what you are aware of is totally, completely uncaused by anything outside of yourself. As you hear these words, for example, if you limit yourself to being just the body, receiving certain frequencies of vibration, touching your ears and creating a certain neurological stimulus within the brain and translating that vibration into certain words of your English language, that experience is not caused by anything outside yourself. Think about it. Think about how many people have access to this internet show, to these vibrations, and how few people actually take advantage of it, and how differently it strikes people, even as we have comments from people on the show. There are some people that listen to a lesson and come away generating fear and upset. Others listen to that same lesson and they're soothed. Others are bored. We are absolutely creating our experience of life. And nothing outside of us creates that experience. We don't create all the outside events. We aren't controlling every energy that we experience, and yet we are completely in charge of creating our experience of the energies that we interact with. The lesson, the last paragraph in this section says, you are equally and infinitely free in this very moment. In each and every moment, as you experience these words, you may choose to contemplate them. You may choose to get distracted. You might choose to experience this transmission of vibration in a completely different way, beyond your language. You're free to perceive yourself from the realms of pure spirit. You're free to see Yeshua and those who join with Yeshua as they transmit this frequency that creates the vibration through your physical form. You're free to experience the death of a loved one as a tragedy. You're free to experience the transition that this works, as we mistakenly call death, as just a transmutation of energy from one form to another, with the understanding that the consciousness goes on infinitely. You're free, as free in each new moment, to choose to experience your life differently as you're free to take a breath and hold it at the top and slowly exhale down, or free to turn off the computer or whatever device you're listening to this broadcast on and go do something else. You are as free in each and every moment to change your experience of life as you are to lift your hand or breathe in a different pattern or get up and walk across the room. And it never ends. That's the one thing they tell us over and over again through the Way of Mastery and in the Darshans for the Way of Mastery and the Q&As that go along with the audio, the original audio of this book that we're reading. It says it in a number of different ways. And one very specific way it says it is, free will cannot be usurped. You have the ability to embrace this work or reject it. And there'll be no penalty except your own life experience. The people, the entities, the consciousness channeling this book and writing it down and say, we will wait for you with infinite patience until you choose to see the true nature of your connection to us. If you choose to see yourself as little and small and petty and restricted, you're perfectly free to do that. Now, other entities may not choose to come and spend time with you when you're creating that hallucination of being tiny and limited and in agony and upset. And yet, the next moment when you decide to change your mind to see your true nature, they'll be right there with open arms to embrace you. You have the capacity to delay taking this course, this curriculum. Guy Finley talks about it this way. He says, there is an unseen cosmic curriculum. And there's only one. There's only one. And the purpose of the curriculum is to educate the mind and the soul to the existence of the wisdom that created the curriculum. The only purpose of the cosmic curriculum is to help each and every one of us wake up and understand that we're part of a greater consciousness. So the text goes on in Lesson 13. The next segment is titled, An Exercise to Expand Your Awareness. The text reads, here's an exercise. Just take a moment, and within your consciousness, drop this simple pebble. Now from Lesson 8, they're talking about every thought that you choose and pour mind energy into, it's like dropping a pebble into a still clear pool. It creates ripples of energy that move out from it. So here's a thought. Maybe you want to play with this. Quote, I am not what I have perceived myself to be. I am unlimited pure spirit, and everything is available to me. Therefore, in this moment, I choose to open access to other dimensions of experience so that I might call this moment to me in a very different way. Close quotes. And then the text says, now, when you speak these words, notice what images come to mind, how they come into your field of awareness. Perhaps maybe you imagine yourself to be far more than just the body, abiding in a far greater dimension than the physical dimension. Do you see fleeting images of other beings, colors of light, subtle feelings that perhaps you'd not been aware of while you were focusing on the English translation of the vibrations? What do you notice drifting through the field of your awareness? Pay attention to it, for you cannot imagine what you have not or are not experiencing. It's there as an experience that we can tune into. They're saying here that our power of imagination means we've experienced it at another level. You are the field of consciousness that is having your experience now. You create the capacity. You decide what will enter into your field of awareness and how you will experience it. Beloved friends, learn to look beneath the scenes. Learn to feel beyond the body. Learn to allow yourself awareness of what steals across the metaphorical corner of your eye, that is, the outer edges of your field of awareness. You are more than just your body. Michael Rice likes to quote from scripture where it says, do not be fooled by appearances. Don't be fooled by appearances. When your brain shows you images of things and starts generating negative emotions and wanting to blame other people for it and getting depressed and angry and hopeless, and what's being talked about in these deep spiritual traditions, whether it's the Course in Miracles or the Way of Mastery or Guy Finley's work or Byron Katie's work for that matter, what's being talked about is that there is always another story. There's always another way to look at things. You can always spin the lens. I had two people in the past week who came to me with data points arranged in a very negative view. And with practice, and I've been practicing it now for a lot of years, I was able to say, okay, I get it, and I can see how you would generate upset at that. I would just like to also point out to you that you could take those very same data points and spin it this way and be thrilled. One of them was my son. He had all kinds of upset going because he believes that he has worked so hard for this company and been a team player, and they're promoting other people and not him. And they're moving other people to jobs that they would like, but they're not doing that for him. And meanwhile, they're giving him all kinds of compliments, and they're saying they really like the work he does, etc. But he's putting it into this, I've been here for 9 years, and they're holding me back, and they're not doing this and that. And I took all the same data points, the 9 years and all the hard work, and I just pointed out to him that if he looks at it through the filter of they owe him, and they owe him more than just his pay, they owe him from some kind of loyalty or some kind of, you know, advancement in his career in the way he thinks they should, he's going to be very upset. And he's going to generate a lot of negativity. But he could also look at it as they hired him with no experience and trained him. And the combination of the opportunities that they provided and his intelligence and his determination and his hard work, excellent work ethic, etc., has helped him gain incredible experience, just like any other education. And now he's far more marketable than he was when he first got there. And no one can take that away from him. So if the company that he's working for sees him through a certain lens and wants to keep him in some kind of a category, he doesn't have to stay there. He could say, thank you very much for the opportunity and the chance to grow and improve myself. I'm going to go market myself to somebody who can see me through a different lens. No hard feelings. It's just business. And thank you for the 9 years of experience and education and training. It's been a delight. This is what the Way of Mastery is pointing out to us. In every moment where we come up with a negative interpretation of our life events, it's possible to choose differently. And yeah, there's discomfort that's in life, and that's clear. But Byron Katie points out very well in her work, she said she's come to the realization that she only suffers when she believes her negative thoughts. She might have discomfort, she might have physical pain, but she only suffers, adding suffering on top of that, when she pours her mind energy into negative thoughts, which is why she created this worksheet that has her questioning every negative thought and literally dismantling the upset that she creates by questioning over and over at deeper and deeper levels, just like the Way of Mastery is suggesting that we do with this work. Go back over it. Go back over it again. Look at it from a slightly different perspective. Try it again. Spin that kaleidoscopic wheel of interpretation until it comes up positively. Even if you have to do what you would consider, you know, making stuff up or being creative in your interpretation. But that's all we're doing anyway. Life is just this flow of energy. And every time we judge something as right or wrong, good or bad, we are laying something on top of it that doesn't exist in actuality. We are laying our interpretation on top of what does not exist without our interpretation, without our judgment, without our spinning a belief system, a thought pattern. Right? Just like every time we watch these nature shows where there's a hyena or a lion or a tiger or a cheetah going after some young four-legged herbivore, and we go, oh, that's so sad, or oh, the poor baby, or that's a flow of life. It doesn't have a goodness or a badness until we label it as such. And what this work and the Way of Mastery and A Course in Miracles and Guy Finley and Byron Katie are all trying to help us wake up to is that we are the author of our interpretations. And it's the mind energy that we pour into our interpretations that creates our experience of life. So the text goes on to say, come to realize that the experience you are most familiar with, that is, of being a body-mind who hears these words, which are vibrations of sound, and then translates them into English. And therefore, you perceive that you are having a conversation with somebody who happens to be in another body. That is a very limited perception. It's a set of images you made up. It's a set of images that you were conditioned into by your family and your culture. It's a set of beliefs about being just in the body and nothing else. And some of us have experiences from when we were young where we remember feeling and knowing at a deep level within us that there's a lot more going on here than just the physical body. But after years of being conditioned to believe that you are that body here and there's another body way over there and et cetera, that everyone and everything is separate from everything else, we create a set of pictures in our brain that reinforce that conditioning, that brainwashing. But this work is asking us to recognize that around the edges of that very firm, clear, crisp perception that is limited by the five senses, there is something far more vast, something which can be cultivated that allows you to be aware at much more refined levels of things that are far more connected and advanced and expansive than just the physical body. It says, eventually you'll be able to perceive these dimensions of energy with your eyes open as you look upon another body-mind who is currently having the experience of vibrating thoughts through it that might be directed toward you. You would call it a conversation, and you will see that the other being isn't just a body, but is a field of light. You'll start to see colors. You'll feel vibrations. And those colors and those vibrations will tell you much, much more than the words could ever say to you. The result, of course, is that you will not be fooled by words nearly as often as you have been in the past. Right there is a set of reasons I think it's quite valid. Play around with this because you might find that the ways that you used to get misled, tricked, betrayed, they get less and less because you're not blindly believing and following somebody else's words. You have your own inner guidance that sees a lot more, understands a lot more, offers to you an integration of a lot more. The text goes on and says, if you practice this little exercise as often as you choose in any and all circumstances, because it's not difficult, you simply use the field of your consciousness to decide to be aware of what is moving around the edges of what you call the third dimensional experience that you're having. We end up becoming more observant. We end up becoming less myopically focused. We end up becoming more expansively aware of our environment and the people around us. For instance, it says, when you're in your automobile and you pull up to a red light and you sit next to another automobile and it has a driver in it, and you look over through the physical eyes, if you limit yourself, you'll just see an automobile and another body sitting behind the wheel, similar to what your body, or what you call your body, is doing. But what if you allowed yourself to play by looking at the being and saying within the mind, this is but one small expression of that being. I wonder what's occurring around the edges. You might surprise yourself when suddenly a thought comes into your consciousness. And you would know instantaneously that that thought is not yours. It could be the thought of a person in the car saying, quote, my God, why didn't I iron my husband's shirt this morning? Oh, he's going to be so angry, close quotes. How many times have thoughts like that entered your mind and you've dismissed them as imagination? What we are suggesting here is to use the most ordinary of moments of your day to become aware of your own being, your own naturally expanded, unlimited self. There is nothing hidden at any time. In any moment, you have full access to the totality of what you would consider to be another soul. Does that sound like an invasion of privacy? Beloved friends, there is no such thing. Privacy is only important for those who believe that they are cut off and separate and perhaps have something to hide. In reality, nothing is hidden. As you come to trust that the deep nature of your own being is perfect wisdom, perfect compassion, and perfect love, you will begin to release the fear that you've built up around the extraordinary skills that you already possess. Imagine softening what is rigid within you, breathing and softening and letting the fertile soil of the queendom, the connection, the wisdom of all consciousness, letting it be the source of your experience. You will discover that you can trust your unlimited spirit. As you sit in your car, looking at the one behind the wheel of the automobile next to you, and you allow yourself to relax and notice what is around the edges as it touches your consciousness, you will realize that this means that minds are connected. They are not separate from one another. And if their mind is touching yours, yours is touching theirs. And you are free to send them love. You are free to notice what you pick up from another, and without even opening the physical mouth, you can send the answer of wisdom that they are seeking. So this is a challenge to most. This is, you know, there are many people who do the Michael Rice work. Michael Rice himself talks a lot about, you know, getting permission from somebody else and not violating their privacy, and this is a challenge to your balance, as Natalie Merchant would say. What if we can learn to access awareness and then strengthen it so that it becomes first nature? What if we have the capacity to develop different energy and energy senses? What if not just the five cranial nerves that belong to sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch are available to us? What if all 12 cranial nerves are available? What if we can learn radically different ways to experience our life and move into an experience of being connected to everyone and everything in ways that we had never experienced before? Well, that's what we're being asked to play with. That's what we're being told is our inheritance. And at various points in the book that we've already read, that's essentially what we're here to experience, to grow into a level of awareness of experience that goes way beyond anything we can generate with our five senses. And beyond that, what we generate with our five senses is mostly inaccurate. It's extraordinarily limited. It has us racing around on the surface of this little blue ball that's spinning through space, worrying about who said what to who, rather than worrying about how to get more in touch with the senses that can allow us to beam the energy of creation or love to more and more people, to learn to live in that exquisite energy of forgiveness, of clarity of perception. Just imagine how limited we are when we believe in what we perceive. When we believe in what we perceive and our perceptions are generating negative emotional states. I remember the story, I don't know if it's true, but the story about Bill Clinton, who kept an actual rock from the moon on one of his conference tables. And when he would have these people from various countries, high-level discussions about war and peace and trade, and they'd start clashing with each other and the egos, and, well, how dare you talk to me like that, he would interrupt and say, you know what this rock is? You know where this came from? The moon. Think about it. Get some perspective. We are experiencing this life as though it is so long and so tragic and so wonderful, and it's just the blink of an eye to our higher self. That's what we're being told. It is possible for us to step back and develop an experience of ourselves that has far more connection to our infinite awareness, to our higher S self, capital S self. And that's what every lesson leading up to lesson 13 is trying to get us to do, to soften our compulsion to believe that what our mind tells us is the right thing, that rational, logical, conscious mind, which is basically driven by the accumulated experiences we've had. And each of those were created by the filter we chose in the moment. And so most of us are living in the past, to quote Jethro Tull. So most of us don't have an experience of beginning anew in each new present moment, which is why this book says so often, now we begin. You have the ability to choose new, fresh, an entirely different interpretation of your life, its meaning, what you will choose to focus on, what you will give meaning to. You can rewrite that moment to moment. And Course in Miracles and Way of Mastery are trying to point us to the fact that learning to live as the conduit for this loving creative energy is one of the most magnificent, bliss-filled ways to live your life. Staying stuck in what the culture teaches you or the family has taught you and using those thought patterns and belief systems to generate negative emotions is hell. And you don't have to stay stuck in hell. You've been given the power. You've been given the ability to choose anew each new present moment. So we're down to the last minute and a half, minute and 20 seconds. I don't see Jeannie Race yet, but I will remind people that we do this work on the Internet Show 5 days a week, and we offer 2 support groups for people who want to go a little bit deeper and learn to use the tools in an actual practice session on Tuesdays and Thursday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central. And there will be another support group tomorrow night. All the information you need to join us absolutely free is available on the Internet at mindshiftersacademy.org. And please remember the separate login page for Tuesday and Thursday, because we've had a number of people who've tried to join one day using the wrong login information. So I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I will turn on the microphone and welcome Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate you. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yes. Have a wonderful show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So welcome, everybody, to Mind Shifters Radio, the second hour. And I'm walking up the steps as I speak, so apologies. So today is Monday, June the 20th, 2022, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us, and we'd love to hear your comments and questions, because that makes this your show. And I did speak with my tech in India again this morning, and he's was asking him why the Google still had not updated, but he's said it has been submitted and they're just, I guess, overloaded with people or something doing apps. And so it's taking a little longer than normal for them, but it has been approved for the by Apple for the iPhone. So if you haven't updated your app on your phone or if you haven't downloaded it, it's Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, totally free, totally private. And you can get it from either for the Android or the iPhone. And we hope you put that to work. And I want to say a thank you out to Doug for catching an error on the website. I got that corrected, and it was for a link for some of the MindShifter archives. So if you find anything when you're scrolling around on the website and something's not working, please drop me a line. Or if you've got my phone number, text me and let me know about it, and I'll get it fixed. So thank you for that, Doug. And still waiting on Michael to get signed in, and I'll just invite you to go to the website. There are several new things. And one of the things to make the announcement about is that this Thursday, information for that is either under events or schedules or flyers. You can find it several places, and it says Global Online Book Club. And that has been awesome. A young lady in the UK started this book club several years ago, and they had just she had gotten the Why Is This Happening to Me Again book, and she said she had never been directed or given the inspiration to contact the author, but she did contact Michael. So he's been on there for several times since I guess the first time was March the 10th. And we're doing that twice a month, the second and the fourth Thursday of every month. And you can pick up those recordings on our website as well. So if you go to, like, schedules and you see Global Online Book Club and you click it, it will give you the Zoom link, the meeting and passcode to join us. And scroll down just a little bit, and I've been putting updates. She's given us the links for each of – she records it. And so each of the meetings, and there's been a couple of them where we've actually – where Michael has walked someone, Yinka, or one of the participants, through doing a worksheet. And so it's more like a workshop, and they're not reading the book or going through it page by page or anything like that. So it's different than a lot of book clubs, and it's awesome. So join us for that. There's also the monthly Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing. We do that the second Saturday of each month, and then it's followed by the Tuesday. Afterwards, we do a support meeting to go over any questions or processing that happened since the breathing. So we invite you to join us for that, too. Michael's doing several podcasts, and he actually, a couple weeks ago, did a three-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again. You can access that. It is, it's also under schedules. I just left it out there because it was an easy place to find it. It's also on our YouTube channel. And so that's free to download and watch. So there's lots of things going on, and we would like for you to join us. The more the merrier. You know, we can't go through this alone. We all need support, and these things are being offered just like the radio show 5 days a week to give you support. But you have to ask. We don't read minds. We haven't gotten that way yet. So I see Michael's on now, so I'll welcome Michael.
And sometimes we do get a little bit lucky and we can read a mind and we can tap in and support each other on a whole other level than what the culture has taught us when we realize that we are energetic beings. You know, one of the foundations of this work is a statement made by Albert Einstein, where he says, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations become so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. So realizing that we are energetic beings, what we engage in energetically in every endeavor of our lives gives us an opportunity to do one of two things. We can engage in something in the world, have it impact us and drag us into its energetic pattern, or we can engage in the same thing and choose to make hay of it. You know, I think it was, let's see, who was it? They called it grist for the mill. That if you were going to do your work, it would take interaction that would give us the opportunity to work through and to move through things. So engaging those things that resonate, fear, rage, guilt, grief, drama, and trauma, can leave us to appear to be victims of fear, guilt, grief, drama, and trauma, or can open the space for that which needs processed within to become the grist for the mill, to become the subject of the work, the next piece of work that I do. You know, sometimes, usually we'll watch nature videos in the evenings, but sometimes we'll watch something that has some drama or trauma to it. And, of course, we stay conscious of what's happening with our breath as we do that. And oftentimes the last thing either Jeannie will say to me or I will say to Jeannie is, and let's join in asking Rukka to assist us as we sleep in processing whatever was resonated by this particular event that we observed. And so we have opportunities to engage in the frequency of life through music. You know, you look at discordant, and you look at the word chord there as it relates to music, discordant music, disintegrative energy, or there's that which enlivens rather than tears down. Being choosy about the music and the words in the music that you engage in. You know, it's a powerful opening of the human energy field to listen to music. And people who are listening to destructive lyrics, violent lyrics, abusive lyrics, tend to move in the direction, if they're not doing their work, of playing out those instructions given. It's a powerful way to open this energy field and put thoughts into the field. I know we were listening to a piece of music yesterday and came on America's Got Talent. And it was something I probably hadn't heard in 50 years. And I could repeat it verbatim. What we engage in, what the culture's engaging in the way of music is very powerful. The people we hang out with are energetic beings. You know, there's an old saying that says, if you sleep with dogs, you get fleas. And there's definitely some truth to that. If we engage in interaction with people who live in a destructive, disintegrative way, language, thoughts, behaviors, engaging in those as energetic patterns can impact literally the whole resonance of your energy field. And so from the point of the perspective of energy and frequency, you know, the understanding of quantum physics says that these energetic dynamics create through resonance an impact. And there's an interesting science, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, if you haven't looked it up, just jump on YouTube and put in the word cymatics, C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S, and just watch what a simple vibration can do in terms of physiology. You know, there's several videos you can pick up and watch, and, you know, just by beating a drum or dragging a resistant piece of cloth across a certain a surface, the energy created sets up and organizes patterns that are just amazing. And when you realize that, pardon me, our thoughts are frequencies. Those frequencies organize, think about organic structure, become organic. And then when we speak them, we create a whole other level of frequency influence. So being aware of what you speak. And if thoughts are tied into the energy that one would refer to as disintegrative relative to the energy field, if the words tie into disintegrative energy, and that doesn't mean you ignore everything that's going on in the world. That doesn't mean you don't speak to and hold accountable what power is doing, if power is out of alignment or someone in your life is doing. It just means that you're careful that you maintain the connectedness and the awareness of the truth of who you are as the frequency, the energy, the vibration of active love. And to cultivate thoughts and related emotions and words that support that. And everything that your eyes fall upon are frequencies. Make sure that if you allow your eyes to fall upon, if you engage in the disintegrative in the world, that if it resonates disintegrative energy in you, you utilize the tools of forgiveness to process through that and to free yourself of those things. And so everything we engage in is definitely a frequency, definitely an energy. And they've done a lot of research showing that one of the most powerful healing frequencies is that of gratitude, of just being in appreciation for what we have. I know that for me, just, in fact, I said this to Jeannie last night. We were working in the garden and got kind of grody, so went and jumped in the shower, and just thinking about all of the ancestors that didn't have water, or, you know, Jeannie mentioned, yeah, when we were kids, you know, wood stove, and we heated water on the stove, and, you know, she got to be one of the last ones in the tub in order to get a bath. And now we think nothing of just walking over and turning on a faucet and jumping in and having the opportunity to have a hot shower. What an awesome thing that is when you think of the bulk of humanity that has ever lived hasn't had that privilege. Like, wow. So many things. Well, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on that, yes, we need to pay attention to, and yes, we need to address, and yes, we need to keep our own vibration clean in regard to those things. At the same time, that bringing forward gratitude is a powerful thing to remember. In fact, I think it was maybe Mr. Eckhart, I think, that said if the only prayer you ever said was thank you, that would be enough. Of course, we know that prayer is not putting order into the cosmic gift catalog, having the understanding that the Aramaic language brought to prayer, that prayer, and it's a frequency device, prayer in Aramaic is, the words would be more properly translated rather than tell God what God should be doing for you today. The words would be properly translated set a trap for God, that you do the work it takes. You become the frequency space that literally captures and reflects active love in the world. That's what prayer means. It's got nothing to do with the Greeks have turned that one around to you tell God what God should be doing today. As opposed to, you know, if you listen to the ancient teachings, they say in this energy field called love, which has been called the creator, we live, move, and have our being. And as such, we are designed, we as human beings, physiologically, our energy pattern is specifically designed to capture, as an antenna captures, and that's what it means to set a trap for God. It's like an antenna captures channel 2 and reflects on the television screen as a perfect picture. We're designed to capture the active presence of love in which we live, move, and have our being and reflect it into the world. And we've been brainwashed to do something else other than that. And so gratitude's a powerful way to bring more of that alignment. And, of course, the whole body of work that we've been talking about for the last 11 years, 5 days a week on this show, is about how to align yourself with the active presence of love and how to literally forgive, how to literally remove the frequencies that perhaps have come to you genetically, perhaps have come to you from your environment, perhaps have come from your own life experiences, to remove those frequencies that are not of, or not in alignment with the truth of who you are, to really be able to face, confront, and move through them and apply forgiveness, which means removal. It has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook because there's a particular energy moving inside of one. And to remember that what I'm feeling, in order for me to feel it, has to be moving inside of me. We look at something out there and we say, oh, look at what that has done to me. And we totally avoid the fact that the only way that that can do anything to me is if I have a matching frequency. And that energy starts to move in me. And that's the only thing that creates the experience of emotions and feeling, the sensation of feeling in us. And so if we're feeling something, it's because that energy's in us. And it's the opportunity. If it's a frequency that we choose and realize is not supporting life, it's the opportunity to learn forgiveness. And, of course, you can go to our website, whyagain.org, and you can access hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of information about first century Aramaic forgiveness. It is the most profound technology you will ever find. It has nothing to do with the Greeks told us that we should blame somebody else and let them off the hook for what's happening inside of us, but to recognize that what's happening inside of us is always changeable, whatever the frequency is. So you can do the worksheet process. There's a step-by-step reality management worksheet, the wake-up sheet that you can put to work right on the website. You can print it off on your printer at home, so you can do it in writing. And or you can go to your app store on your phone and type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. Profoundly, profoundly powerful and useful. So put it to work, share it with others. In the meantime, the purpose of our show is to interact with you and to hear what's going on in your world and see if we can bring support forward or perhaps hear the question that you offer us that opens a whole new area of understanding and study for us as well. So it's here to be an interactive process. We're delighted to be sharing this space with you. Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
We do have a hand up, and I believe it's Miss Susan 610. You're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, young lady.
Hi, everybody. Oh, good, you can hear. Well, Michael, I've got two-tiered, and I love what you're saying. Every word is like water on a desert. It's been very useful, and my basic question will come in a minute, but I wanted to make a report. It seems as if after doing all those worksheets every day, boiled down to one massive worksheet of forgiving the world for being not as I want it to be. Whatever it happens to be, if I'm not feeling good, if something isn't the way I want it to be, and so I'm constantly working on just forgiving the world for presenting things in a certain way that might not be so great. And that I'll get to the specific now, which is my grandson, Jacob.
Well, before you get to the specific, can I make an offering?
Yeah.
I'd suggest you never forgive the world or anybody or anything ever for anything.
Okay.
But if something's moving in you and that movement is a response to something happening in your world, apply forgiveness to that which is moving in you to remove it. Nobody needs to be forgiven. Nobody will ever be forgiven in the sense that most of the world has been taught to think of forgiveness as, I've been forgiven by God. No, nobody's ever going to be forgiven by God. I've been forgiven by my father or my mother, or I've forgiven my father. That's all a totally false conversation. If I have hate or fear or rage or sadness or grief or loss moving in me, I apply forgiveness to that to shift that frequency, that vibration in me, not to that person that shows that to me or resonates that in me. So the shift in that definition is a tough one to make, because we've been so imbued with this idea of course it's the world's fault, so therefore I'll forgive the world. The world needs forgiveness for nothing. But if the world is the object of attention that I have for my sadness or my loss or my grief or my rage or whatever it is, then I apply forgiveness using that as the subject of the forgiveness process. But I apply the forgiveness to that which is moving in me that needs to be removed. So it's the removal of that energy in me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I'm actually doing that. I didn't word it right, but it ends up being that I'm like that rose that followed after something and got uprooted and didn't stay rooted in God. So I get back rooted
there you
in
go.
Soil. And
yay.
That's been the image that I've been picturing, is I got out of my grounding and I have to get back to my grounding. Whatever the issues are out there, they're interchangeable and they'll never end. But I stay rooted. And if I stay rooted, then the healing takes place. I'm saying this not having achieved it today, because I've just had one of the most scary interchanges with my grandson, because I realize he is definitely mentally ill. It isn't just a matter of belligerence and selfishness, but the belligerence and selfishness come from what appears to be he's gone beyond the pale. We had a situation where he was obviously on something the other night, and our agreement was whatever money we give you, it doesn't go for that. We want you to be clean, and he insists, I'm not using your money for that. But then we come to realize we're giving him $150 a week for his expenses in New York City, and he runs through it pretty fast and is asking for more food money. And he's insisting that he's not spending our money on pot and booze, and probably it may be even cocaine. His brother told him he's been taking cocaine, and he insists he's not, and we're invited to believe him and trust him. But And so we had a discussion this morning about how we're going to withdraw all allowance so that he'll have to use his savings for whatever he needs for the time being until this business gets sorted out. And the ugliness that came out of that, swearing at us, calling us all kinds of horrible names, and audacity, saying you went back on your word. He badmouthed us to his whole school program there, and they all think we're just horrible people for pulling out the rug from under him. And I could just, I never said an unkind word. I kept saying, Jacob, we love you so much. We're trying to do the right thing for you. And he said, well, if you don't pay me food money, I'm going to quit this program and come back and live with you. And I said, you can't come back here under those conditions. You just cannot. Now, this to me is like the tough love they used to talk about. And he's saying, what? I can't come back. What am I going to do? Okay, I'll get a job. And I say, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Get up, go to school. We'll sort this out. Don't be rash. He gets to school, and it's just ugly, and it's ongoing, and I have pages of texts that I've made, you know, screenshots of to testify the fact that we're not on level ground. I'm not working with a person who is influenced in any way by the fact that I keep a loving space to him, open, loving presence to him. It's like it's not translating, and so I'm just thinking, how do I go from here? I am upset, and that's a bad sign. I haven't done my work enough because I'm really upset about this. I have not mistreated him because I'm upset, although he thinks we have. So, you know, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking you're talking about a world where people are basically sort of healthy. And I've run up against this whole other thing going on where we're not, it doesn't translate. Can you say something about all that?
Sure. Yeah, there's what's of course going on inside of you for you, and I want to acknowledge you because I think you sound, in the context of hearing that he's doing cocaine and in that context and the fact that he's being so verbally abusive after all the support you've given him, I think you are beautifully balanced in what you're saying and what you're doing. I think that's an awesome state of balance and speaks to the work you've done, because if you were going through this 3 years ago, I don't think this would be your demeanor or your vibration. It wouldn't be your energy 3 years ago if this whole circumstance were happening, would it?
I think that's true, Michael. It's been, it's like it came just in time. I was going to need this. I took it, and then, boy, oh, boy, there it is. We need it. We're putting it all to the test.
Right.
I'm still just in a practical way, not,
right,
not sure what to do next.
Well, one of the suggestions I have is there are several different food programs that you can buy online and without giving him money so that he can go squander it on drugs and say, I need more money for food, send him a box of food each week. I'm not remembering. There's one service that we had, and we were spending $30 to $40 a week to get a fair-sized box. We could select each week what we wanted, whether we wanted avocados or, you know, and do you remember the name of that service, Jeannie? It was kind of something like Ugly
Misfit
Food. It was
Misfit Food.
Misfit.
Oh, I've seen that.
Misfits is a service that's organic food, but it's not perfect. You know, it's like that old song of "Give me spots on my apples, but leave me the birds and the bees." They've taken on, you know, buying food that won't go on the fancy grocery store shelf because it's not perfect, but it's perfectly good and perfectly nutritious. So you might sign up for something like that for him, and every week, you know, he could or you could select what goes in that box, and he gets a box of food. And so he can stop complaining about the fact that he has no food to eat, and he can't abuse the money that you're giving him because he's saying he needs food. Well, send him food. There are also some different food programs that send you prepared meals. You know, they have this and this, and it's all packaged out, and you put it together, assemble it yourself. There's several ways that you could handle that aspect of it, and that would move at least one factor out of the way that he can't accuse you of causing him to starve.
I wonder if just having him go to the grocery store and photocopy the receipt, and I'd pay him the money for it. And he'd pay ahead. He does have a bank account. What?
That sounds like another, that would be a similar, I think that would be a similar good idea, that you, when he actually spends money on food, you'd take care of it so that he's eating. But it sounds like he's also playing out of the addicted personality, and, you know, the addicted personality, unfortunately, will twist and turn and create every form of pressure and con and lie that exists in order to keep its addiction up. And
He just texted me and said, I want to go home. I don't know what home means, whether that's here or just to his apartment. I'm just texting back what's happening. But he has a lot of anxiety, and I think he... I don't know, Michael. Anyway, I don't mean to just load the show with this problem.
You're not loading the show. You're not alone in this.
Yeah, okay.
So the other thing that I would offer you could do is you could add another condition into your support of him, and that is that he starts to take some responsibility for his emotional condition and starts to do some work. You know, maybe, you know, paying him a couple of dollars for every worksheet that he sends you that he does, that he actually starts to engage in some responsibility, because right now what it sounds like is you're trying to take responsibility for everything for him, and he's just, you know, running his story. He's running his game. And unfortunately, that comes from a life where one has been abused. You know, they'll tend to pass on the kinds of abuse that were done. You know, the voice you heard from him when you weren't fulfilling his goals, I would offer, is probably the voice of his power person. That to him sounds like his voice speaking to you, but really it's his power person speaking through him. And while you can have compassion for that, there comes a point where he has to take some responsibility and shift that. So perhaps building a financial incentive into him doing his work. Although I've seen cases where I've tried to do that with people before and it hasn't worked. I remember one woman that came to the opening session, introductory session of a series that I was doing. Oh, she cried and she didn't have any money and she wanted to do it and she wanted to be part of it and she wanted to do it and wanted to. And so I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Next week for our session, you know, the cost is X. And so, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, it's like bring 10 completed worksheets to the workshop and that will be your admission fee. I'll pay you to do worksheets. Well, after all the whining and crying and how much she wanted, she never showed up again because she had to do something to change herself. And, you know, sadly, what's been pretty well established in alcohol and drug treatment circles is that most people will manipulate until all the bridges are burned and they're left on their own and they get to the bottom and they either wake up or, unfortunately, they die.
Yeah.
It's a
tough
place.
I love the financial incentive of doing the worksheets, but I don't think he would do that. I just don't think he's well enough to not take offense.
No, he's well enough. He's well enough.
So?
Everything you're telling me, if he's well enough to say what he's just said to you and tell you this whole story and get you feeling like it's your fault that, you know, that he isn't doing well, you know, you're to blame and he can justify that, he's well enough to pick up and start to act like an adult. Yes, he's carrying a heavy burden. You've told me about his power person dynamic, and that's a horrendous load. But
yeah,
my take is he's well enough to, you know, start him on the children's worksheet, you know. And he's well enough to do that. He's smart enough to do that. And he can do that. But making, you know, when you say, gee, we're trying to do the best we can do for you, but you need to be accountable, somewhere he has to step up and be accountable. And, you know, maybe the starting point is to start to let go of his abuse of you.
Well, Michael, you know what? I've been texting him and listening to you, and I know that's dividing my attention, but he just texted me. And he said,
right.
I want to go home. And I said, what's happening? And he said, I just did my monologue. I said, how'd it go? He said, not great. I sent him a sad face. And then he added, I'm having so much anxiety. And I said, me too, so sorry. And he said, what are you anxious about? That's an amazing thing that he even asked. And then I said, you and us, so sorry and sad about all this. And he said, me too. So something's loosening
so
up a little bit.
Yeah, so there's the opening to say, now, son, there is something we can do about this. You're going to do a part, and I'm going to do a part. Here's what I'm willing to do, and here's what I'm
okay.
going to require of you. And see how he responds. You know, if he wants it, and if he wants the drugs more, then he's going to do the drugs and alcohol more. That's
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's that thing of, you know, sometimes people have to hit the bottom of the barrel, which is most unfortunate. And but you could start with the simplest worksheet. You know, Julie's got the seven. They're on the website, the seven children's worksheet.
Right.
Start with the first one and
oh, yeah.
take this. Here it is. And son, you need to do some serious writing. I need to hear some serious what's going on for you on this simple little form. And you're going to start to work through this trauma.
Yeah.
And then I will send you a box of food, all, you know, organic food. I'll set it up and I'll send it to you and you'll have food and you'll have a way to begin your healing process. You'll take the next step toward healing.
Mm.
And, you know, the power of just canceling the goal and dropping into what lies underneath it is so profound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That if you can give him the incentive to do that, then, I've watched many people over
like
the
that.
Years. Say again?
By offering him the promise of food, the food box and that sort of thing?
Well, he's got incentive, but the power of getting him to start to look at the arenas in his life where he's got upset, to become aware of the goals
mm-hmm.
he holds and canceling them, and dropping
yeah.
into the unconscious energy that's behind this pain and trauma that's running his life, the power of that is amazing. I've watched people over the years who, you know, all kinds of different addictions, and they start doing worksheets, and I mean, I've watched, you know, total dyed-in-the-wool drunks just spontaneously stop drinking. Like, gee, you know, I don't know what happened. I just quit. Been doing these worksheets, and I don't feel like alcohol anymore. In fact,
mm-hmm.
did we send you the worksheet video that we did for the book club two weeks ago?
Yeah.
Did you listen through that?
I haven't looked at it. No.
Oh, well, when you watch it, you know, we did about a 2.5-hour worksheet, and this woman spontaneously at the end of the worksheet came up with, well, you know, I'm wondering about the fact that I drink and if drinking is part of the problem here. I mean, out of the worksheet, there was no conversation in the worksheet about drinking, about alcohol. In the last 10 minutes or so of the session, she brought up that maybe drinking isn't so good for her and maybe it was time for her to stop. And
oh
that was after
God.
One worksheet. And she just out of the blue. We had no conversation about alcohol at all. And out of the blue, out of that worksheet, when she dropped into the underlying dynamic, came up with, maybe it's time for me to stop drinking. Power of dropping
gorgeous.
Into the unconscious mind by canceling the goal that's driving the perceptual pain, it's monumental. So even that simple, you know, the first of seven children's worksheets that Julie developed, start with that. And, you know, if he's truly not eating and he wants to eat, then there's an incentive. I mean, it's simple, really simple worksheet. He doesn't have to do the seven step and look at all the dynamics, just that simple children's worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a powerful start.
So, Michael, I'm going to ask you some very next step practical questions. He is saying he wants to quit the school. We've paid $6,000 for housing and the program, and he wants to leave and come back and stay with us. Talking to Michael, Tim's coming downstairs. And I have said, you can't come back here right now. You've got to stay in the program. It's all paid for. Don't blow it off. This is no big deal. This is a wonderful chance for you as an actor, and you were liking it well enough. Now, he may ask again, I need to come home. I'm having too much anxiety. I don't even know whether to say yes or no.
Well, when you bring a person, especially an addicted personality that is not thinking rationally, to a precipice where they have to make a choice, the consequences can be dire.
Yeah.
But you can't take responsibility for those consequences. He's setting that scenario up. And, you know, if I were in that position, I would agree with you and I would say, you know, we invested in this because you wanted it and you have to follow through. Now, one of the consequences of that might be that he might go out and create himself so much stress that he canceled the thought, ends his life.
Oh, I know. And my daughter has been talking about that. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's why I'm offering that, you know, but succumbing to his manipulations can lead to the same consequence and doesn't leave room for recovery to happen, would be my offering. So could you give him permission, if he chose to end his life, to do that? Could you, in good conscience, hold a space of love for him and say, son, if that's what you choose to do, and I'm not saying go and say this to him, but in your own mind, offer that permission and hold him accountable for what he said he wanted to do, was go and do this program, and you coughed up the money. And give him permission to do what he does, because you don't know what he's going to do, and you certainly can't take responsibility. And one of the manipulations of the alcoholic and the drug-addled mind is, well, it's going to be, you'll be so sorry because of what you've done to me.
Yeah.
And people, I mean, parents, it's so classic, parents, grandparents, go until they're totally broken, can't do anymore. And the alcoholic, drug addict goes on and does their destructive thing anyway. You can't take responsibility for what he's going to do. Or if you try to, then he'll manipulate you right down the tubes.
Yeah. So I want to make
sure.
At
least that's a possibility.
So I'm saying to him, stay in the program. We paid for you. We'll keep praying and loving you, but we're really rooting for you to stay in the program. And if you don't, you're going to have to figure out how to sustain yourself. Is that what you're saying? And then he may choose to not stay in the program, but he knows he can't come back here. So, and he might take his own life, which I've been thinking about that. My daughter even said this morning, she says, Mom, my two older boys may not live. And I am trying to make peace with that because they're adults and I'm trying to let them go. I pray for them. I'm doing everything I can, but I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do for those boys. She doesn't pay for anything for the older boy. Yeah, she doesn't pay for anything, and the older boy, Lukey, is very angry with her. But he understands, and he has even said, "Mom, I'm so sick of getting drunk," but then he gets drunk. So,
well,
and then we have
he's got pain that isn't, you know, when one steps away from the pain a little bit, it's easy to say, "This is not working, this is not good for me." But when the pain is up, the anesthetic becomes so, it seems like the only option. And
yeah,
and where the real option is, start to do your work and clean up what's causing your pain.
Yeah.
But the machinations and the manipulations that come out of, you know, making everybody else responsible for the pain and the trauma that they're in and resolving it. And the fact is, if he doesn't step up to the plate and do something, you can't resolve it. I mean, you can be the space, you can hold the space. And if you hold the space powerfully enough, you might just fall into it and bang, everything changes. But that's not the likely scenario. The most likely scenario is he's going to have to come to the point where he takes some responsibility and does some work to clean up what's going on rather than beating up on everybody else to force them to support his habit.
Right. Well, I just asked him if he could stay through his classes till 4:04, and then we'll have a long talk and we'll do some strategizing. And now he's saying, I have a voice lesson at 5:30. Well, we could start the talk at 4. Okay, I can tell him that. Basically, my question for you, it's all practical stuff. If he says, I want to come home, will you let me come home to us? I'm still saying no, right? I'm saying no, let's work a little more from where you are, and then we'll redecide.
Well, of course, that's a choice you have to make. And he's going to have to be responsible for what he does, whatever your choice is. If it were me, that's exactly what I'd be saying is, son, you said you wanted this. We invested in it, and you need to fulfill your end of the bargain. We fulfilled ours. And that would be what I would do. And I would be aware that there might be consequences for that choice. But, of course, whatever choice you make, there are going to be consequences.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate
it. But I think your balanced state and your presenting with love rather than judgment, and, you know, there'd be a lot of grandparents, I put that money on you, SOB, look what I did. I mean, there'd a lot of grandparents be doing that, and I think the space you're holding and the direction you're moving is awesome. It's time for him to take some responsibility and start using the tools.
Oh, if he only would.
Well, you're the one person at this point that can put an incentive in his mind to do something in terms of cleaning up the pain that he's carrying. And I think it's pretty powerful that he can pull his power person voice out and do the abuse his power person did to him, to you, and you're not responding to it. That you recognize that.
Thanks. Yeah. He's still texting. I said, let's talk at 4 then, and hang in there, Boone. Proud of you for hanging in so far. We'll get you some real relief. Now he's saying, what does that mean? Okay, what does that mean?
Here's what it means. I'm going to show you how to start to handle the pain in your own mind and your anxiety. And you're going to do something about it. And in return for that, each week you're going to get a box of organic food. So you're getting what you're asking for, and you're getting some help where you're participating. for me, that would be the thing that would have the best chance of opening something more positive in his world.
Okay.
And whatever you do, the chips are going to fall where they fall. I would think that he'd have the best shot at moving forward. I mean, even if he just does one worksheet, and hopefully one will lead to another, you know. Text him or email him the simple first level of children's worksheet.
Well, I just texted him based on what you said. I said to him, "We'll proud of you for hanging in so far. We'll get you some real relief." And he says, "What does that mean?" And I write, "I'm going to show you how to start handling the pain you're in, and we'll make sure you have plenty of good food." And he answered just now, "Okay."
Perfect. Perfect. And so there's a good barter that he's going to start to do some work and you know, set up. You're going to do, well, you saw the power of doing five of them a day. So maybe set up that he starts out and does two a day for a week, and he takes a picture of them and texts it to you, or emails it to you, or physically mails it to you, and that has you invest in another box of food. So he's got good food to eat. And show him how to start to clean up his mind and make it a requirement. You know, just hanging out there and doing nothing about the trauma that's going on in your mind isn't going to benefit you. It's, you know, look at where you're at. And so here's a practical, real way to do it. And you can attest to him firsthand that, you know, you were on anxiety medication and you're not anymore because you did this. I mean, you're firsthand testimonial to him. So you know it works. You become professional at supporting people through it. And so he's got support. I mean, right there. How much better can it get for him?
You know, the best thing you said, I mean, everything you've said is so helpful, and it's just translated right into communicating with Jake right now in real time. But when you said he is not too sick for this, he is healthy enough. I had thought that he was too sick, and I'm just going to go with he's not that sick, that he can't do this.
Right. He's, you know, listening to his conversations with you, he knows what a goal is. He knows what his goals are. And when you teach him to cancel a goal, he's healthy enough to do that. That's all. He's healthy enough to do that. And, you know, who knows? It may open up some conversations about his power person and recognize that you're healthy enough to go back and, you know, when you were five and your power person was raging at you and you wanted to a hug, you can establish in your mind that the goal that's driving your perception today is that still that desire of a five-year-old for a hug, and you can cancel that goal and you can process that and help him to build the brain cells for moving through that. I mean, he's to be doing this program, to be able to memorize lines and sing, and he's bright enough, he's strong enough, he's smart enough. And, yeah, he's got some challenges, and you can show him how to walk through those challenges, and it sounds like a perfect incentive for him to move forward.
That's so good, Michael. Thank you. You're an absolute lifesaver. In real time. call into a show and get immediate help. Bingo.
Well, I think it's awesome that he just happened to start writing you in the middle of it. It's perfect. And know that we join you in holding the space for the highest and best outcome for him and for you. And, you know, I admire the space you're holding and the work you've done to be able to be that for him. What a gift. Not many people have that in their world.
And there is something to be said for thinking of the worst case scenario and allowing that possibility, it just loosens the bands around the heart enough to be able to breathe. You know, Byron Katie once said to one of her clients, you probably know this, a client, a mother, was frightened because her daughter was threatening suicide, and Byron Katie said, look, if she takes her own life, it's the most loving thing she could do for herself, considering the pain she's in. And I thought, wow, what a perspective that is. That isn't to say the mother's going to love it or anything, but it's a kind of allowing, that's all.
Definitely difficult challenges.
Right. Well, and when you came on the radio show this morning, I mean, just now, talking your monologue, now he's saying, what sort of thing are you going to show me, worksheets? What do I say to that, Michael?
Said, we'll talk about it at 4 o'clock. And tell him that you're going to show him exactly how to do what you did to handle your anxiety. Anxiety that was severe enough that you needed medication at the time and don't anymore.
Yeah.
And be the testimonial that this works and this is how you're going to buy your food now. You're going to turn these worksheets into me and it's going to turn into food for you. And then you're not getting conned. Well, he's, you know, I mean, when somebody says, I'm not using your money for alcohol and drugs, and they're buying alcohol and drugs, well, let's see now, which dollar is, which pocket did the money come out of? Of course, he's using your food for drugs and alcohol.
Right. I mean, it's,
you know,
crazy.
If he doesn't have enough, you're sending him money for food and he doesn't have enough to eat. Of course, he's using your money for drugs and alcohol. I mean, that's just
right.
Silly manipulation to say, I'm not using your ICI, I use my own.
Yeah, I know. Well, so he says, what
and
sort of thing?
And there's something
to be
said for, there's just another thought. There's something to be said for calling him up to a higher level and knowing that he's capable of that, as opposed to kowtowing to weakness.
Yeah. That's totally true. You mentioned that a while back, talking to him about integrity. I never had that talk with him. It just wasn't going to fit right then, but I think it might fit now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, what sort of thing are you going to show me?
I'd say, I'm going to show you how to do exactly what worked for me to handle exactly the same trauma.
Yeah. What sort of thing are you going to show me? Worksheets? Are you still sending me my allowance? And I said, we'll talk at 4 p.m. Allowance? Yes. So that's, maybe I shouldn't have said yes. I should have said maybe. That'll just buy us some time. So we'll get through the day. Holy crap.
Well,
okay.
We'll be holding the space.
Thanks.
And know that you'll be guided to say exactly the right words to help him to open up to the next level.
I hope so. I do know they helped Lukey, and Lukey isn't using him anymore, and I don't know if that's a good pitch to give to Jacob because Lukey is not doing very well. Maybe I won't do that. Yeah, okay. I'll just tell him how I've been helped by it.
Yeah, you've got a perfect testimonial. I mean, you've got had exactly the same thing going on. And
right. You
were using drugs to ameliorate it, and you've been able to stop because you've worked through it. He can do the same. Yours were legal, his are illegal, but there were drugs all the same.
Yep. Oh, man.
All right, young lady, while we're down to the last minute, we'll be holding the space and keep us posted.
Thank you so much.
All right, love and blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.